I've just been impressed to spend a little time in the Psalms here over these next few weeks. I don't think I've ever done a series on the Psalms since I've been here. Psalm 23, we did that one time, and it's so well known, I won't do that one again. But there are some other Psalms of great importance and that bear a great message. And I know that Psalms are a great encouragement. How many here have ever gone to the Psalms in search of some encouragement? Some of you? Billy Graham said, I try every day to read a little from the Old Testament, a little from the New Testament, a little from the Psalms, and a little from the Proverbs. And I think that's a very good recipe, because the Psalms are never out of date and seem to always be right up to date for whatever we might be experiencing. Now, we're going to learn as we go along, not all the Psalms are Psalms of praise. Some of them are prayers. Some of them are actually prophecies and so forth, but they are all anointed by the Holy Spirit. These are songs that were anointed by the Holy Spirit. And when we say these back to the Lord, and when we sing these back to the Lord, and we mean it as we do it, there's a power in these words, because these are God's own words. And we are singing them back to Him. So what a tremendous legacy. David didn't write all the Psalms. He wrote a lot of them. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And there are a number of Psalms by the sons of Asaph and so forth. But every single one of them anointed of the Lord. This Psalm 27, some of you may already be familiar with. Could I see some hands of any who have ever memorized even part of this psalm we just read? Some. I think it was one of my dad's favorite psalms. And he starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Have you ever needed a stronghold? Have you ever needed being saved? You know, have you ever needed some light for your way? And he says the Lord is all those things. I didn't bring the numbers with me, but I went through and identified how many of the Psalms contain the Lord, which is actually Jehovah in the original, that start out with Jehovah in the first sentence. It is 88 of the 150 Psalms have Jehovah. And most of the rest have God. Instead of Jehovah, it just says God, which is probably Elohim. And there's only a handful, like a dozen or so, that don't say either God or Jehovah in the opening verse. So that tells us right there that God Himself is the focus of the Psalms. And of course, praise, many are Psalms of praise. It is impossible for a song or a poem or anything to be worship and to be praised unless God is the focus of it. And so we sing hymns, but not all our hymns are actually psalms in that way. They're not all praise. They may be a hymn of testimony or whatever. But if it's a psalm of praise, then the Lord Himself is going to be the focus of it. And of course, He needs to be the focus of our very life. So that's why the Psalms are so important, because they help us to get our attitude back on God. They help us to remember that it's about Him and it's not about us and whatever little thing we happen to be going through at the time. It is about Him, and that even in our troubles and even in our sorrows and also in our joys, He needs to remain the main focus instead of the thing that we're going through. So I hope these will be a blessing to us. He starts out speaking of three realities concerning the Lord Himself. Here they are. My light. Here's the first blank. He reveals Himself to me. Light is a revealer. You walk into a dark room, you can't tell what color the furniture is. You can't tell if there's dust on the table. You can't tell if there's some dirty socks on the floor. But as soon as you turn the light on, then you can see what it is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He reveals Himself to me. And He also reveals myself to me. My heart, my wayward ways. He reveals the world around me to me so that I can see what the world really is and what is behind all that glitter and all that stuff. And what's behind it? The Lord is my light. He reveals Himself to me. Secondly, He is my salvation. He delivers me. Because that's what a Savior is. He's just someone who comes and delivers you out of something that you can't deliver yourself out of. We're so busy trying to climb out of holes and claw out of holes and break out of our jail. But the only true freedom is when the Lord delivers us. And then the strength of my life. He gives me strength for daily living. He's the strength of my life. That's already been alluded to this morning. Who is your strength? The Lord is your strength. Really. We may be strong in some areas in the natural or whatever, but that little old bit of strength quickly gives out. But the strength of the Lord never runs out. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their what? Strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, be able to surmount anything. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. In other words, you'll be able to keep on going. You won't run out of steam because His strength is more than enough to carry you on. So when you're going through the difficult time, the thing to do is to rely on Him and realize that your strength is in Him. And He'll get you through what you can't go through otherwise. How many times have we had to learn this lesson in our brief lives? And how many times do we still have to learn it again? The next time that something comes around. I have a note here. These three realities are all. He's my light, He's my salvation, He's my strength. These three realities are all manifestations of the Lord's presence. It is His presence in my life that makes Him my light. It is His presence in my life that causes Him to be my deliverer. It is His presence in my life that gives me the strength for daily living. So these are manifestations of Him in my life. Now he paints some scenarios for us. When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. So, number one, I'm besieged. I'm under siege. Have you ever felt like you were under siege? You're completely surrounded. There's no way out, nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, and no solution for your problem. It's like having a whole army encamped around you, hemming you in, and no matter which way you move, you're going to be in trouble. Have you ever felt that way? Some of us probably have. Number two, I'm under attack. Have you ever felt that? He says, if war breaks out against me, I'm under attack. Do you ever feel like you're under attack? Let me tell you something. A lot of times you are under attack. If you're a true believer, a lot of times you are under attack. You're under attack mentally. You're under attack emotionally. You're under attack a whole bunch of different ways. Remember the story of Job? And God does allow some of that to go on to test our faith and to see if we will trust Him. He says, even if it does... I will remain confident. Now that might just sound like some bravado if we didn't understand why he's confident. He's confident because he's confident in the Lord. That's not bravado, my dear friend. That is good, solid information for whatever situation we may be going through. And then in verse 10, he gives a totally different scenario. But many of you have experienced this. I'm forsaken and rejected. Even if those closest to me turn their back on me and reject me, the Lord will receive me, and the Lord will take me in, and the Lord will love me, and the Lord will fill that hole in my life. And that's where healing comes from. We have a lot of, today's Father's Day, but there are people who have been abandoned by their earthly dad. We have mothers here, but there are people that have been abandoned by their mothers in this natural realm. And there have been those who have had a spouse turn their back on them. And there have been those who have been betrayed by the people closest to them. What do you do? Do you get bitter? Do you play the blame game? Do you go into depression? Or do you say, hey, even if mom and dad forsake me, whoever forsakes me, the Lord will receive me. And that's where our healing comes from. And that's how we can remain whole and be whole no matter who has rejected us. We know we're accepted by Him. Now, how can this be? I think verse 4 gives us the key to why David could say, He's my light, He's my salvation, He's my deliverer, He's the strength of my life, and even if I'm under siege, I'll be confident, and even if I'm under attack, I'll be confident, even if I'm besieged, I won't fear, even if I'm rejected, I know the Lord will pick me up. It is because of verse 4. He had one demand. Today we would say, there is one thing I have insisted on. Just one. We have things we insist on. What is yours? It'll tell you a lot about yourself. One thing I have insisted on. Here it is. One demand. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's how the 23rd Psalm ends. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. And since life doesn't end for a believer at the end of physical life, this has implications for eternity. It has implications for right now, but it also has implications for eternity. I'm going to always dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is what? It's where God lives and where God dwells. I want to live my life in God's house. And you can live in that attitude every day. If you take that attitude with you to work when you leave in the morning, and when you're out and about and you're doing your different things, you can, in a sense, be in His house wherever you are because you are practicing the presence of the Lord. And He says, I want that to be the case every day. How many days out of your week is this the case? One or two? None? But when it's supposed to be every day. Three things I will do in the Lord's house. Number one, I will dwell in His presence daily. That means I will live in His presence. Where you dwell is where you live. I'm going to live in the presence of the Lord every day, wherever I may be geographically, whatever I may be going through in my life right now, whatever problems I may confront, or conflicts I may be experiencing. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord, that is where I'm going to live. I'm going to live in His presence. And for a believer, especially now, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. He's not behind a curtain in a temple in Jerusalem anymore. Hello? So we can truly, if David could do it, certainly we can. I'm going to dwell in His presence daily. Number two, to gaze upon His beauty with delight. The King James says to behold. Either way, this is not a glance. This is looking at it. In the New Testament, it says that as we gaze into the face of Jesus and behold His glory, we are transformed into that same glory. Earl Nightingale, the original self-improvement man, before Dale Carnegie or anybody else, the main truth that he had discovered and which the gospel he preached was, you are what you think. There's a lot of truth in that, but you think on what you fix on and what you gaze on. What's your fixation? The beauty of the Lord. Is the Lord beautiful? Well, you haven't seen the Lord. But is the Lord beautiful? Is His character beautiful? Everything about Him. And as you come to the Word of God and you read the descriptions of it, you begin to understand just how beautiful the Lord is. So would you like to be, you know, entertained or whatever by some cheap comedy on some cable channel somewhere? Or would you rather be gazing at the beauty of the Lord? Whatever things are good, pure, true, holy, commendable, think on these things. And he says, I want to live in the house of the Lord so that I can gaze on Him. What are you gazing at each day? And what are you gazing at when you come here on a Sunday morning? So when we come here, we're here for Him. And to seek Him. That's number three there. I will seek Him continually. I'm seeking the Lord. So is the Lord all that hard to find? No, not really. But we only find Him when we seek Him. You say, you mean I got to seek Him again today? That's right. You got to seek Him again today. But I already know Him as Savior. You got to seek Him again today. Well, does that mean He's abandoned me? No. Does that mean He's turned His back on me? No. But it means that in order to get His directive and in order to experience what He wants you to experience in your life today, you've got to be gazing at Him and you've got to be seeking His face. The expression is in the face. The will is made known by the face. I was just telling somebody yesterday that my daddy had a little dog that would look at his facial expression to decide how he would treat the visitor that came to the house. Because the little doggy could do something a lot of us can't do with the Lord. He could read his master's face. But we can't know it if we're not looking there. So, I will live there. I will gaze on the Lord's beauty. And I will seek Him continually. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. And that applies. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Who said that? Jesus said that. And His righteousness, and all these things that the pagans are always seeking, will be added to you. Four results of dwelling in the Lord's house, gazing on His beauty, and seeking Him continually. Four results. Number one, in verse 5, He will keep me safe. He will keep me safe. Is this a dangerous world we live in today? Probably as dangerous as it's ever been. He'll keep me safe. Number two, He'll hide me. He'll hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle. There's a hiding place where the Lord will hide us. That doesn't mean people can't see you. But it means there's an intimate place where you can meet with the Lord. And there it's just you and Him. And nobody else knows what goes on there. And in that place, you are safe from every attack, every temptation, every evil influence, everything that the enemy would want to bring into your life to distract you. Number three, He will set me high upon a rock. A rock is a good foundation. He uses this verbiage often, as opposed to clay, or sand, which you sink in it and you just know. A rock is a good, strong, firm place. He will set me high upon a rock, And then in verse 6, He will exalt my head above my enemies. Do you have somebody you'd like to get even with? Forget all that. Just start seeking the Lord. Just start living in the Lord's presence. He'll exalt you. You won't have to exalt yourself. And He will exalt your head above your enemies. You won't have to do it. I learned that secret a long time ago. And thank God I did. You don't have to fight those battles. You don't have to go into those things. You just seek the Lord. You be faithful to the Lord. You put Him first. And He will, in His time, He will exalt your head above your enemies. Now, they may be people or it could be anything that's trying to get at you. But the Lord will exalt you above it. That comes from dwelling in His house. It comes from gazing at His beauty. It comes from seeking Him continually. Now, once the Lord has done these things for him, He says, I have two responses. Number one, at His tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Tabernacle, the place of worship. I'm going to come, and I'm going to offer sacrifices to the Lord, and I'm going to do it with shouts of joy. What makes you celebrate? We were able to participate the other night with Jeff and Lisa Keenan, who were recognized because they are the first couple in the history of the Chesapeake Adult Education Program to do this together and finish at the same time. So they got honorable mention. And that place was full. And you know, I think I've been to a lot of graduations, but I think this kind of graduation probably had more meaning, not to belittle the other, but for some of those people. Because, see, they didn't graduate on time. And maybe they messed up and made some mistakes or trouble came into their life and their dream was put on hold. And now through perseverance and through starting again, for them, it really meant something. But they were all celebrating big time, and I saw one little mama over there, and I mean, she was just, I don't think she was the graduate. She wasn't. But she was living that moment, and she was doing shouts of joy. What makes you celebrate? And when the Lord does something, that's when you celebrate. Amen? When the Lord does something, then it's time to celebrate. Then it's time to do those shouts of joy. And then it's time to spread the word. And number two, of course, David would. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Even in the New Testament, it says, if you're afflicted, pray. But if you're happy, sing. Over in Vietnam, I hear years ago when all that was going on, they asked the guys, which chaplain do you want? They said, we want the one that has the Happy Jesus songs. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And when that song wells up in you and it just can't be suppressed, you go ahead and sing, even if you're off key. The Lord will love it. Amen? You like it when your kids sing to you? Or your grandkids? Conclusion. I am still confident of this. This is verses 13 and 14. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Here's another secret. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. There's a time to do, there's a time to work and all that. But when you've got a problem you're trying to solve, do the common sense things you know to do. But more than anything else, have your hope fixed on the Lord. Because in these languages, hope and wait mean the same thing. Wait, hope in the Lord. So you wait expectantly, but you have your focus on the Lord. Lord, what is your answer to this? Lord, what is your solution to this? Instead of going out and trying to fix it yourself. If we can do these few things, then along with David, we will be able to say with full conviction, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?